We are back!
Yes! Woo!
That's right, after a short hiatus, the Lucas and Lee podcast is back. You know, we were on hiatus because I was in Florida.
Yeah, you were in Florida for a special moment, though.
It is my third year of living, people.
This is the second life.
It was St. Patrick's Day is the official birthday of Lee 2.0. I went back to lovely Florida for my annual checkup. As many of you longtime listeners know, received my liver transplant at the wonderful University of the Florida Medical Center. And also today,
you got a gator liver.
Well, I got a gator liver. Today is the Gators' first round game in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Heck yeah!
Hence why I'm sporting my Florida Gator hoops jersey. But it was, you know, I always love to reflect on the fact that I was given a second chance of life, Lucas.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, that second chance of life, it really is, you know me before.
You
know me after.
I knew you mid, too.
You knew me mid. You knew the almost died.
Yeah, I remember you in a bed, and I was walking into the Stockton Civic, and you FaceTimed me.
Yeah. So really just, it's a good time for me to go back and reflect on what really is important. What is important? The people that are important to me. And the fact that, to quote the ABC soap opera that I used to watch all the time, One Life to Live, you literally only have one life to live.
Exactly. That's Susan Lucci, right?
That's all my children.
Okay.
That is all my children. Erica Kane, who's an American icon.
Okay.
All my children. But really just, it makes me reflect on how lucky I am to be alive, how lucky I am to have some very special people that care about me.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
And I care about them. But also really just, you know, for those of you who are sitting back and holding back on whatever, don't, you know, go out and take that trip. Buy that plane ticket. Do that thing.
Go on a living spree.
Go on a living spree. Yes. Go on a living spree. You know who's not going on a living spree?
Who's that?
People who take first dates to horrible places.
Oh, I can think of a number of spots where I would not take a first date.
So there's an official list.
So what is the worst place to take somebody for a first date?
The Cheesecake Factory.
That's a nice restaurant.
The Cheesecake Factory is where me and my ex-wife would take her son, my stepson, when we wanted to go out somewhere and entertain him. It would be the Cheesecake Factory.
I've only been in one once, and it was probably 30 years ago, so I don't know much about the Cheesecake
Factory. Oh, no, it's totally morphed into an absolute zoo these days. Now, if you're taking a lady friend on a first date, do you want a three-year-old in the booth next to you crying the entire time?
So that's what it is?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that when I was there.
That's what it has devolved into.
So is it like Applebee's now?
Applebee's is number two on the list. And yes, it is the fancy version of Applebee's.
So it's bottom of the barrel of fancy restaurants.
It is bottom of the barrel fancy restaurants.
Yeah, I don't know who would take... You're not going to impress anybody if you take them to Applebee's.
No.
I haven't been to the Cheesecake Factory in years. I haven't been to Applebee's in a long time either.
I enjoy taking first dates to some great places. You know me, bougie as shit. So, probably the best first date location ever would have to be anywhere along the coastline. Like, anywhere along. If you find a restaurant, like, for example, there is Pacific's Edge in Carmel Highlands, which is just an excellent, excellent place, especially if you're seated right next to the window looking out over the Pacific.
Yeah.
It is just amazing. That is first class.
Yeah.
That is like, hey, I'm with someone that I actually like and I care about, and I want to show them that I care about them. Not, I'm going to take you to Chipotle, which, by the way, is number three on the list.
That's a fast food restaurant.
Chipotle is four.
What's third?
Third is Chili's.
Yeah, these are all I got some spots. I don't know if you've been there. Skates on the Bay in Berkeley. It's right on the water. You can see the Bay Bridge, and it's an amazing picturesque spot. The Spinnaker in Sausalito. That's a really nice spot. And you see the whole San Francisco skyline right in the water. And the Trident. Have you been to the Trident in Sausalito?
I haven't.
Sausalito is a great spot.
You know where is also a great spot for first aid? The observatory at the Ritz-Carlton in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, I love Half Moon Bay. It's a good spot.
Now, Chili's. I was actually taken to Chili's on a date. And yes, I was taken because
so they picked a spot.
Because this is when I was 19.
Oh, well, that, I mean, if
and
you're like,
hold on. And Mrs. Robinson was 32.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So she chose Chili's for our afternoon rendezvous.
Let me ask you a question. Did you have an alcoholic beverage at that age?
I did not have an alcoholic beverage at that age.
Yeah. Because I was wondering if she bought you one.
No.
Did she have one?
Oh, yeah. She chose one. Yeah. And number five is the place that everyone goes to on your high school prom, the Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, especially in the Valley, everyone goes to the Olive Garden.
Yeah. If you're going to have Italian food, the Olive Garden is not the spot to go to.
No. No. The Olive Garden is to Italian food or Taco Bell is to Mexican food.
Yes. I think Pietro's is a good spot for Italian food.
I would also like to say on either two of my prom dates, we did not go to the Olive Garden.
Where'd you go?
We went to local restaurants in Turlock because I support supporting local business.
Yes. No change around here.
Even from an early age, I was all about that. Now, you know who would take their date to one of these five places?
Who?
I don't know if you've seen it in the news lately. Now, I want this date to be marked down in history.
Okay, so today is the 21st of March.
Because those of you who listen or see this podcast know how I feel, usually talk about these twins.
Oh, the Cavender.
That's right. The Cavender twins. Hannah Cavender was dating Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Former quarterback for the University of Georgia. Transferred to Miami. Also, this morning I was looking in the dictionary and decided to look up douchebag. And it had Carson Beck's picture right next to it. So, mark this day down in history. I'm going to defend a Cavender twin.
Wow.
I am going to defend a Cavender twin.
March 21st, 1:37 p.m.
So, Hannah Cavender, Carson Beck were an item. Okay, Carson Beck, dude, you are out kicking your coverage. You have won the lottery of females, okay? She is attractive. And look, I may have, capped on them for their TikTok and NIL, et cetera. Kudos to them for taking advantage of the system that has been provided to them. They have monetized themselves in a way I am jealous of.
Yeah.
100% jealous. And so I, on this day, I'm saying I am taking back all the bad things I said about the Cavender twins.
Wow, that's a lot of bad things to take back.
That is a lot of bad things to take back. Look, they have fit themselves into a system and maximize their potential in that system. And they're doing better than 99.9% of America. Kudos to them. So, yeah. Carson Beck, like mid-quarterback, got carried to a national championship game by his defense. Let's be very clear. If Georgia did not have a defense that could start for any NFL team, Carson Beck would have been the lowest rated quarterback in college football.
Yeah.
Gets carried to these heights. Gets a deal with Lambo. He's got Lamborghinis, NIL, everything.
Got money, yeah.
Transfers to Miami to be with Hannah Cavender. What happened? Mind you, he is away for a weekend with Hannah Cavender. Gets caught Snapchatting another woman.
Whoops.
Like, dude, what the hell are you thinking?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, though.
Just say less, Carson Beck. Just enjoy the gravy train you're on, okay? This woman has a thing for you. I don't know why. I mean, you've seen this guy. He looks like a dweeb.
Yeah.
He looks like a dweeb. You've won the lottery, Carson Beck. And what do? You screw it up. So Hannah Cavender, Carson Beck have broken up because Hannah Cavender has realized, I don't need a douchebag.
Yeah.
That she is like cream of the crop, like as far as available females, and she needs a man who treats her as such. Which I think both men and women, if you're a guy and you're, you treat a woman right and are successful and educated and you do all the things, you deserve a woman who compliments that.
Yeah,
and vice versa. If you are a female that are successful. You are a successful female. You have your stuff together. You treat people good. All that fun stuff. You need a man who meets you where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hannah Cavender was here. Carson Beck was here. And for those of you who are only listening, like, my hands are about 6 feet apart.
6 feet apart.
Like, Carson Beck, dude, just stop.
Yeah.
Just actually just stop and realize that you are a fuck up.
Yeah. Big time.
Big time fuck up. So that's...
But it's typical with University of Miami.
It is, you know, it's like when you transfer to the University of Miami, you just lose all brain cells whatsoever, and you decide to become a thug.
Yeah, well, I mean, keep in mind that Miami barely beat Cal.
Barely. Also, keep in mind that Miami is the convicts portion of Catholics versus convicts.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Oh, I'm 100% touching that one. Miami is the convicts portion of Catholics versus convicts. Still the greatest ESPN 30 for 30 of all time.
That's a good one.
So Carson Beck, and I know we're moving this up to the front of the line, so the back. I know we usually do who had the worst week ever at the end of the show.
Yes.
But I feel we should insert it right here. Carson Beck, not only have you had the worst week ever, you are currently the front runner for the worst year ever.
Yeah, big time.
We'll see what happens in the fall when he gets beat out by a true freshman from Okaloosa County in North Florida.
Florida. Okay. Let's hope.
So we're talking about football there, kind of, sort of. You know what happens in about 2 weeks.
Opening day for the San Francisco Giants in San Francisco is 2 weeks from today. And opening day for the team in Cincinnati, where they open up in Cincinnati, is happening this coming Thursday.
It's happening this coming Thursday. Now, Lucas, you and I will be at the home opener.
Absolutely, 100%.
You and I will be at the home opener.
I can't wait.
I am super excited to be at the home opener. But there's little news. There's two bits of news in Giants land. One I will bring up. The other you will bring up. Mm-hmm. But so I'm actually concerned about Giants land this year.
Why?
Because they were bought into by Sixth Street Partners, a private equity firm.
So they took 10%.
They took 10%. I have dealt with private equity firms in my line of work, and all they like to do is cut costs as much as possible and try to increase revenue as much as possible. So, therefore, they're not going to want to pay X amount for a decent hitting left-handed center fielder, but they're going to double the price of my Giants dog. That is the track record of private equity bros, because they are. A private equity bro usually wears aviator sunglasses, button-up polo type shirt, and a Patagucci vest. That's a private equity bro on the West Coast.
Well, let's hope that they don't do that, because we seem to be going in the right direction. I like the team. Logan Webb is the opening day starter. Hopefully Hayden Birdsong gets the number 5 spot. I wish he would get number 4, because I would like to see Hayden Birdsong at 4 and Landon Roop at number 5 and go with the youth movement. But Bob Melvin always takes the quote-unquote safe route. So it's going to be Hicks at number 4 and Hayden Birdsong at number 5.
What did we talk about at the beginning of this podcast? Don't take the safe route.
But that's what Bob Melvin
Go does. Do the thing.
Because I think that Hayden Birdsong should be 4, Landon Roop should be number 5, and Bryce Eldridge should be starting first base.
Hey, Bob Melvin, pretend like you got a liver transplant 3 years ago.
Yes.
And live a little.
Let's live a little.
Live a little. Live a little.
We got to make this season exciting, because the LA Dodgers are already 2-0, and we haven't even played a game.
You know, Dodger fans are some of the most annoying fans on the planet.
The worst
they are annoying. I don't think a Dodger fan could probably name any of the baseball positions.
No.
None. Pitcher, what's a pitcher? Yeah. What's a catcher? What's a batting lineup? No. But, we're a Dodger fan. They get to the game in the third inning. They leave in the sixth inning.
Yeah, 6 or 7 innings.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like a status symbol. I'm a Dodger fan. Look at me. There's no heart in being a Dodger fan.
No.
There's no feeling whatsoever. It's a soulless corporate individual.
And I have a feeling that we're going to meet up with them in the playoffs. I will tell you this. So I'm going to I think that the Final Four this year in baseball, I know it's basketball Final Four season, but, you know, I'm going to pick the Final Four for baseball. I think it's going to be the Giants, Dodgers, and Red Sox, Yankees. I think it's going to be unbelievable.
Really?
Yes, I think it's going to be crazy. Whoa. And the final four for NBA, I think, will be Lakers. I think it's Celtics, Cavs in the East. And then I was going to say Lakers, Warriors, but I don't think it's going to be Lakers, Warriors, because the Warriors and Lakers are going to play in the first round. So I think it's going to be Lakers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the championship, the finals, will be Celtics versus Lakers.
You know who's going to win the NBA championship this year?
Who's that?
Finally, after years and years of torment and torture for me, the New York Knicks!
Oh my goodness.
New York Knicks! That's right. They're finally going to win a ring for Pat Ewing.
I would love that. I just don't think it's going to happen. They could beat the Warriors at home. So
need I remind you of being a 19-year-old, 18. I was 18. I was 18 at the time. Being super excited that the Knicks were finally going to win a championship.
I
had my John Starks jersey on.
I love John Starks.
I was fired up. And what happens in Game 7? Screw you, O.J. Simpson, and your slow speed chase. I'm 100% convinced that them moving coverage, NBC taking coverage away from Game 7 and moving it to O.J. Simpson going 10 miles an hour down the 405 caused the Knicks to lose Game 7 and lose the championship game. Convinced. So, is there any other giant news you would like to talk about?
Do you have another spot? That's what I was thinking was a rotation.
There's an anthem song out.
The one by our good friend out of Richmond, California, LaRussell. Have you heard of LaRussell?
I have not heard of LaRussell.
LaRussell, he actually played at the University of Pacific a couple years ago.
Really?
Yes. And LaRussell is out of Richmond, California. And he has just been brought on to do the Giants anthem, and people either love it or they hate it.
You know what needs to be the permanent Giants anthem? The 2010 song by Ashcon.
Yeah, people are comparing
Don't
it to Ashcon.
Don't stop believing.
Ashcon got them a championship.
Oh, that song was a banger.
So I remember when that song first came out, and the Giants were, you know, starting to get hot, and they were chasing the Padres. And I thought when that song came out, oh my gosh, this is going to jinx the team. I even said that on the air. I'm like, I am so worried. Because whenever somebody comes out with a song early, it jinxes the team.
That is such an iconic,
iconic song,
especially the line in there where it says, luckily the Padres choked.
Yes.
That song, honestly, when I hear that song, I get goosebumps.
Well, 2010 was such a magical year.
I get goosebumps.
And just for the record, the last time Buster Posey was in San Francisco for a full season, they won 107 games.
Ooh.
So I think it might happen again this year.
It might happen again this year. Yes. And everyone, that unfortunately, because we both have day jobs, that is all the time we have for today. But Lucas Lee Podcast is back.
Peace.
We'll be back next Friday where your Florida Gators will be playing in the Sweet 16. You know it.
Yes.
Until then, everyone, you have an excellent day.